You'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to St. Luke. We're going to begin reading at verse 18 and read through verse 27. Now, we believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule for faith and practice, the only way to know unfailingly what God wants us to believe and how He wants us to live. We go to His Word, and He never lies to us. He always tells us the truth. Sometimes it's not the truth we want to hear, but it's always His truth. Hear the Word of God. Once when Jesus was praying in private and His disciples were with Him, He asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" He asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and He said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and He must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Then He said to them all, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of Me and My words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when He comes in His glory and in the glory of His Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." Our meditation is entitled, "The Sideline and the Scrimmage Line." Our text, "If anyone is ashamed of Me and My words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when He comes in His glory and the glory of His Father and the holy angels." Thus endeth the reading. Sideline and the scrimmage line. You can form a scrimmage line in a battle. You can hit the line in football. You can get yourself in line in the sense of doing the right thing. You can hold the line as in military duty, war. You can put it on the line, which means to pay money or put up money. Right now, during the football season, we're talking about the line of scrimmage, and we mean the place where the action is. But all of these expressions have to do with being in the game. They have to do with being involved or being a participant. If you're not on the line of scrimmage, then you're on the sideline. You're off the field of play, and while you may be cheering for the home team with all your might, while you may be pulling for the winner, the fact is, you're not really in the game. You are on the sideline. Do you know what's wrong with the church today, principally? Too many of us Christians are on the sideline. Now, that doesn't mean we aren't pulling for the church. That doesn't mean we're not on the Lord's side. We're just saying, "Who is on the Lord's side?" And we said, "Hey, we are." But it does mean we're not very actively involved in the game itself. We're not on the scrimmage line. Are you on the Lord's team this morning? Are you pulling for Jesus in this battle where we've come to grips with death and sin and Satan? For example, there are a lot of bad things going on in the world today. There's pornography. There's sexual license portrayed on the screen for everybody to see. I never realized before it's a spectator sport. There's filthy language on television. There's lurid sexual detail in magazines and books. Our kids can pick up anything in the world and read it. We're involved with murder and AIDS and drugs and homosexuality and all rampant. Are you opposed to that? Are you against it? Are you against those kinds of things that seem to be eroding the moral fiber of our country, cutting at the roots of our heritage? But when it gets right down to it, are you on the sideline or are you on the scrimmage line? I thought about all those people in Wichita several weeks ago combating abortion. And they were on the scrimmage line. You see, when Desert Storm came along, it was one thing to be proud of what America was doing there in the desert. And I was proud. I had one son in the Persian Gulf and had another that was called up and dropped food to the Turkish people over there. But it was another thing to be an American soldier down in the trenches, be on the front line. That wasn't very glamorous. In our scripture this morning, Jesus asked a really easy question. He says, "Who do people say that I am?" Well, that's pretty impersonal. You don't have to take any responsibility for what other people think. So the disciples said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah, and you're not going to believe this, Jesus. But there are some who say you're an old prophet from way, way back who's come to life." But that was a sideline question. That wasn't a scrimmage line question. What do other things? What do others think? And it really doesn't matter. Some thought one thing, some thought another. But then Jesus did the worst possible thing he could have done to his disciples. He did the thing that put them right on the hook. He did the thing that put them right in the middle of the game. He said, "But who do you say that I am? Who do you, who do you, who do you, who do you, who do you say that I am?" Well, that just draws us right into the middle of the game, doesn't it? You can't stand on the sideline when you answer a question like that. Do you remember how it happened? He asked them who they thought he was. And when they said that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent from God, then he said a strange thing. In effect, he said, "If you want to play on my team, it's going to cost you." We're accustomed today to teams paying players great amounts of money to play for them. Jesus said, "It's not that way on my team. You're going to pay me to play." He said, "You're not going to like the cost because it's going to be expensive. It's going to involve your whole life." Do you remember when David sinned against God and he had to offer an offering and he needed some wood for a fire to make a burnt offering? And a guy named Uriah had a threshing floor. And David wanted the wood and he wanted to give it to him. And David said, "No, I'll buy it. I won't take it free. I will not offer unto the Lord my God that which costs me nothing." You remember how Jesus put it? He said, "If anybody was coming after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self?" Jesus said to play on his team, you had to get on the line of scrimmage. You had to stand in the line. You had to be there in the middle of the game. You had to be in the thick of things. As he put it, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily in order to follow him. And do you know what? People got killed doing that. Jesus got killed, and the Bible tells us that all of his disciples met a horrible end. And do you know what? There are people who don't have to be killed physically, but they get killed figuratively too. Following Jesus, people lose their lives, even if it is figuratively. They forfeit their very selves, and that's what he asks you and me to do, to forfeit your very self. Now, boy, that's some scrimmage line, isn't it? And then Jesus said a strange thing. He said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Did you catch the sequence of what Jesus is saying? First, he says, who do you say that I am? Second, he says, here's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be killed. And then the third thing he says is this, if anybody comes after me, if anybody plays on my team, if anybody gets down in the line of scrimmage with me, he has to pick up his cross and get in the battle with me. He's got to expect what happens to me to happen to him, to give up his life. Does that make sense to you? Frankly, I'd rather be on the sidelines. I'd rather be on the sidelines cheering for Jesus, wouldn't you? I'd rather be up in the stands, out of harm's way, doing the Jesus wave, yelling for Jesus and pausing long enough to buy a beer and some peanuts. But Jesus says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will save it. That's a funny way to put it, don't you think? He says that if we get down in the trenches with him and get ourselves killed for him, either literally or figuratively, that's the only way we're going to save our lives. Otherwise, you're a dead man. Let me share with you just one other thing. In the Jesus game, there's no off season. Baseball season's about over. There'll be a few playoff teams, but most of the teams are finished and they won't start again until next spring. Football season is just getting started. What is it, about the fifth or sixth week? The hockey season is just beginning. Basketball's over for a while. But did you catch the fact that the Jesus game has no off season? He says that if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Daily. And follow me. Now, I wish that were not so. Just every now and then, I'd like to take a little break from Jesus. I'd like to go on a cruise and do all the things everybody does and lay my cross down. I'd like to take a little break from being a Christian. Just every now and then, I'd like to put it down and rest for a moment and say something and do something that was more fun. But you know what Jesus says? He says, take up my cross daily. He says, if I lose my life for him, I'll save it. He said that, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose my very self? And then he says, hey, listen, if you're ashamed of me now, I'm going to be ashamed of you then. And I remember that. You'll be ashamed of me someday. I was at a golf club recently, and two men were waiting for their partners to come to make up a foursome to play golf. And the other couple arrived, and one man introduced one of the arrivals, and he said, this is Father so-and-so. And one of the men said, I'll be damned, you mean to tell me you brought a preacher? And the man that brought him said, oh, he's a regular guy. Now, I don't know what does that mean? Is he ashamed of Jesus? I know for me, sometimes I'll be invited to do something with, recently I was invited, the lawyers had a dinner for Bill Webster. And I was invited, free of course, to give the to give the invocation and the benediction. And, you know, and there I was with Bill Webster and all these prominent attorneys. Hey, I want to be one of the regular boys. I didn't want to sound like some Jesus freak. I was a little bit ashamed of being a Jesus person. But then I remember he said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you. And I don't want that. Do you? Yes, the scrimmage line and the sideline. I suspect a lot of us are on the sideline this morning. Jesus was in the middle of the game. A war for the souls of men. And in that war, people were getting killed, both literally and figuratively. And Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. He must be killed. And before you use a proof, he got killed. His body got smashed and his blood got spilled. And he says to you, hey, come be a part of my team. Don't be ashamed of me. What if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? And then he adds, if you're ashamed of me now, I'm going to be ashamed of you then. So let me ask you that question one more time. Whose side are you on? And I suspect if I ask you to hold up your hand, everybody here would say you're on the Jesus side. And if you are on the Jesus team, are you on the sideline or the scrimmage line? Now, for you, I don't know the answer to that question. But in your heart, you do. And if you're not on the scrimmage line, as you come to the table, I recommend you get serious about Jesus. Let us pray.